If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the one beloved, Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is waltzing through worlds while smelling the sunlight. You can guess what I've been doing today now, can't you? So let's start with taking a deep breath. And feel yourself ease throughout your body, like a sensation of warm honey. Feel your divine soul awareness come alive as you gently move very consciously that awareness through your nervous system, your cells, and through every part of your body. See if you can feel the sensation of the life of you as a spiritual inhabitant of your life. See if you can feel it as a body of inner vitality, coursing with life, wisdom, awareness, and love. See how it transcends and has actually very little to do with your skin suit. Oh, the skin suit is very important. It's sort of like a deep sea diving apparatus that enables you to dive deep into density and to be able to exist at that level of compression. But it is temporary. It's only for a time. It's useful to meditate on the transitory nature of all material forms. They're always in a state of becoming unsubstantial, physically speaking. Everything is moving. Every cell of your body is being continually sloughed off and reappropriated, regenerated. You're never the same any 2 seconds. So we're learning to identify with that part of us that is vitally alive and aware, that isn't dependent upon its existence for a body, a mind, an emotional patterning, an unconscious and subconscious. It's not dependent on these things. These are vehicles of awareness, but they're not who you are. Take another deep breath. And own yourself, inhabit, infuse, and enliven and bless your existence with your full acknowledgement, your full presence here and now. And you'll notice that when you're in the presence, you're also in praise. The praise is that joy that courses through you when you are fully present. You don't experience that ecstasy, that joy, when you're not fully present. God is present now. You and God and your divine spirit are identical and one and the same. That is the ultimate realization. So let me ask you, have you experienced a moment so wrapped in stillness that you could actually smell the sunlight? Have you been aware of flowing through inner realms and states of consciousness so effortlessly that had you not paid attention, you wouldn't have ever noticed? So notice where you are right now. Which realm holds your present attention? How aware are you of your various levels and states of consciousness throughout the day? What realms did you engage as you went about this day? Maybe some of you are just entering your day. But be aware of what there is to be aware of. And we simply notice. We choose to notice. You know, some of my most profound, profound spiritual experiences have taken place when I wasn't meditating or engaged in any particular spiritual, by definition, activity, but simply going about doing whatever. I remember one time I was watching a horse show. I went into that stage that they describe in the East as Nirvikalpa Samadhi, where there was only isness. And one time I went into a great state of what's called Bhava Samadhi, when you're caught up in a divine transcendental mood, great rapture. When I stooped down to pet a cat in the yoga studio, another time I recall that shot me into higher awareness was when I was on a peace awareness training with my teacher, John Roger, and a group of ministers and initiates. And we were walking through the OB ward of the Luxor Hospital in Egypt. And I hung back from the group and I went in and started laying hands on the women who were obviously very ill with childbed fever. And I just was praying for them. That was the high point, by the way, of that entire trip for me. Because it called me forward in a transcendental, transpersonal state. So what happened today? I suddenly felt very sleepy, so I put down the book I was reading and fell asleep for a few minutes. And, you know, usually I do that on Wednesdays, so my consciousness can be downloaded for our evening seminars. And as I gently return to conscious awareness, I continue with my eyes closed and was gazing inwardly at the brilliant golden light that was filling my head. And I was aware that that was the light of soul. The soul plane, when you move into it, is identified by initially a brilliant golden light, which as you move beyond the soul into the God realms becomes increasingly pale in golden hue until it literally becomes the clear light beyond what you could, well, I suppose register as light itself. So I just stayed there very quietly, inwardly focused, and savored, gently basking in the inner sunlight of soul awareness. And I smelt the sunlight. I began slipping through many worlds, in and out of realms and dimensions, much like a seal skimming the waves, in and out of the golden field of being. I merged and emerged, both being and becoming, and wrapped in an inner poise of spiritual certainty and quietude. So it is love alone that constrains me here in this dimension of imagined separation. It is love that constrains the soul here in this dimension. For as long as there are those who still suffer from imagined separation, it is a love in which the divine is made visible through our loving, through our human relationships, and our relating with all life forms. We but appear where love is tangibly required. What else are we to do as souls? For this were we individualized as spirits, extending into time and space in human form. It is indeed like that. As I became more consciously focused, within me arose a sense of why. I didn't allow that to go into the mind. It was more a movement of the heart towards my inner beloved. I dissolve in golden light only to reemerge into this world. Please, Lord, I need your grace to push me over this little barrier to total emergence and divine absorption. And just as quickly as that thought arose in my awareness, I heard the soft, sweet voice of Sai Baba. His voice is so distinctive, that slight Indian accent. Yes, yes, but not now. You have my work to do in this world. Your form is essential and conveying my love to those still lost in the web of illusion. I responded, oh, then it is you, my Lord, that restrains awareness aside of the veil. he softly responded. Only love constrains you here. It is but the divine dance, the play of loving appearing in form, and loving disappearing into formless love. It is one seamless flowing of living love, only imagined to be separate and different in time. Now appearing like the crest of a wave, to glisten in the sunlight, then to again merge in the vast sea. Objective and subjective, appearing and disappearing, of one loving essence at play throughout the cosmos. So dance a while longer, my love. Glisten in the sunlight of the cosmic day, then merge again in my being. The soft inner voice continued. We come as one. Wherever I am, there you are. Wherever you are, there I am. Love as loving, merging into love as being. From eternity we waltz into time, to sway and swirl, and again twirl back into eternity. Thus it is so. It is indeed like that. We appear wherever love must appear, in visible form. We disappear when love has been awakened. And so I sat and smelled the sunlight. And as I opened my eyes, I felt ecstasy and bliss permeating the very air I was breathing. I felt the warmth of the divine presence wrapped about me like a warm cashmere shawl. And again, the reminder was given that we are one divine beloved as embodiments of living love. That was my waltzing through the worlds today. And I paid particular attention to the movement of my inner awareness as I pass through different dimensional overlays, so subtle that had I not acquired the subtlety of inner perception, I would have just awakened, got up, and not ever taken the time to look. That is essential, to take the time to look. To look inward and to sense outwardly, because the inner and the outer are co-joined, seamlessly differentiated only by vibrational wavelengths. There is no up or down, and really no in or out in the spiritual life. There just is awareness here now. So you can make it a fun game to observe which levels you are operating from as you go about your everyday. For example, the usual, let's call it, ego-based level of the personal self is the one that's running on automatic, operating completely from conditioned programs of thinking and emotionally reacting. But at that level is entirely unconscious. Only samskaras, vrittis, ingrained habit patterns and tendencies of karmic predisposition and coloration, and unconscious impulses are running the body machine. Nobody's home. The lights are all off. So that's why the avatars and masters and enlightened beings all say that mankind in general is sound asleep. They are spiritually dead and unconscious to real life on any level. An unconscious person is, according to Sai Baba, living a subhuman life of eating, sleeping, and procreating, and defending their territory. And that is a subhuman life. To awaken and begin to move into the direction of being a real human, one must have had some measure of contact with one's true self, the soul, the conscious awareness. And that contact can be jump-started by coming into contact with an enlightened being. This contact can occur in person, or in a dream or vision, or even by reading a book written by an illumined one. Whatever way that you engage that higher level, a conscious contact has been made. Now, after the initial charge, after that gets you started, that battery, so to speak, must be kept charged and continually energized. And that takes your conscious cooperation, your ongoing participation in your spiritual life and its nourishment. You cultivate your awareness by paying attention to what's going on in your various levels. Don Juan used to tell Carlos Castaneda that he needed to stalk himself. Stalk, S-T-A-L-K. You need to watch yourself from afar in that witnessing mindfulness we call the objective observer. That objective observer is simply another name for you as a soul, for you as higher awareness, looking at your enchilada down here in this time-space continuum, going through its angst and its karma dramas. You learn to watch it with mixed amusement and compassion, I might add, because there's nothing to be judged here. It's more like you're watching a movie of Looney Tunes or Loopy the Loop. You know, it gets to be kind of entertaining and fun when you're not personally invested and you're simply observing consciousness patterns being expressed through a temporary vehicle for the manifestation of your loving. Think of your life as a temporary cup of living water, a chalice of living water. And you pour out that living water to the last drop, and then you get another chalice, and it gets filled with living water. Until you enter into that life eternal, in which you remain an ever-flowing chalice, that endless well of divine spirit, ever refilling and overflowing. But by then you've transcended ever needing to return in a human body. At that point you've become and moved into the levels of universal and cosmic identity. So we're continually moving beyond where we've been to whatever is next. And there are ways that you can begin to practice some of these things I'm speaking about. in your day, you can use your mind by engaging it and focusing it. You can transcend your mind through chanting a spiritual mantra and moving your awareness beyond the level of thinking into pure awareness. But the exercises I'm going to give you are things that you can practice every day, all the time, wherever you are, without any particular need for anything more elaborate in terms of technique. We live in a world where we really need to be waking initiates on the way to work, in the traffic jams, consciously meditating as we run to catch the bus or the subway or whatever, staying conscious and aware while we're interacting with our boss or managing our employees, keeping a little part of us observing and watching from afar as we go about whatever drama it is we're enacting. And be aware, it is just a drama. It's just an enactment of a temporary role, one of a bazillion that you've enacted in time and space. Realize you've been it all, you've done it all, you've seen it all, you've experienced it all. How can I say that? Because you're still listening to me. You have to have had some conscious integration, a full awareness, or everything I'm saying would make no sense to you whatsoever, and you would have long since ceased listening. I told you, these are cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. That means you are a Christ, and you're in the closet because for whatever reason, you've allowed limitation to be more important than your magnificence in full expression as a Christ. Now, that isn't making that right or wrong. It's simply an observation of that which prevails in most of our lives. We have, let's say, different areas, corners of the closet we may be hanging out in. Maybe we have a toe or a leg or part of us out of the closet and the rest still caught up in our various levels of would've, should've, could've, if only have, one day will, you know, all that time bound nananunu that we spoke about last week, of how our thinking is the barrier that prevents us from being fully aware. We get caught in the limitational closet of thinking and trying to understand and make sense and reason of something before we get involved with it. And that's what keeps you in the closet, unaware of these deeper levels of being. So, here's an example of something you can practice, similar to what I just described, that I went through. Whenever you're returning to conscious awareness after sleep or a nap, be aware that you have been operating beyond your usual physical state of awareness. Just be aware that you go somewhere as a spirit when you're not consciously in your body. Oh, there are yogis that are conscious all the time that never lose consciousness. And people move into that when it's appropriate, and others never move into that because it's not appropriate for whatever reason. So again, don't judge yourself. But when you're conscious, exercise your awareness. Be aware that all that exists throughout creation, including all the timelines of past, present, and future, is present and available in this instant. Wherever you are, it's all there. And only your wavelength, your state of vibration, seemingly separates you into a different reality. Your mind emanates wavelengths. We did a seminar on the raising of the vibrational state to elevating your attitude to a higher altitude. And that's what shifts your state. You have to bring in a different state through some movement, physically, emotionally, mentally. You have to engage in an action to change your state. That's why you see every great artist, every athlete, every performer, they psych up before they go on stage. They get into character. They get into a highly activated state. Sometimes before I had to speak at the WESOC, for example, in Mount Shasta, I was one of the keynote speakers for several years. And I had to have two people that usually were assisting me to sit on either side of me just before I went on to present, because usually I was sitting in the view of the audience. And when that energy would integrate from my talk, sometimes it would hit me and my whole body would lift off the seat by a foot or so, which would look very strange, you know, if people didn't know what was going on. And so I had two people holding me down on either side. That energy would hit me like a bolt of electricity. So I would be surprised if my hair wasn't standing on end. A tremendous power would come on me when I was representing the Ashtar Command in one of those large venues where I would speak. And if you pay attention, whenever you're going to do something for spirit, the Holy Spirit aligns your vehicle and energizes you, zaps you, anoints you, empowers and infuses you with something greater than your personal self. That transcendental level comes upon you, which empowers you to do work that is transpersonal in nature and divine in essence. So, when you are returning in your awareness after sleep, without generating thoughts or making any effort, just stay still and be aware of whatever is present inwardly. This is where you can catch very quickly and briefly, usually, very, very subtle awareness. It's so fast and so fleeting that as you start returning more consciously into your body, it will be gone. It's that fleeting. It's like a wisp of incense smoke. It dissipates almost immediately. And it's pretty difficult to recapture those subtle knowings of spirit once you're fully awake or if you've already gotten up and moved about. So just without getting desperate or needy, just practice as much as you can, just remaining still and being aware of whatever is present inwardly. You can do that also when you wake up at night to go to the bathroom. Or if you don't have to get up and you wake up, maybe you chant and allow yourself to fall asleep again. And you'll usually have very conscious inner plane visuals. You could call them dreams. But if you're practicing soul awareness, they're going to be more like you behaving and operating as you normally would as a conscious minister or initiate. If you're having an out-of-body experience where you're operating at a higher level of expression. So just be aware. But in those little states where you're not in deep sleep yet, that's where you generally have your dreams. And many things can be resolved, worked out, seen more clearly in that state. So make use of it. If you find yourself starting to think, watch how you move from soul awareness down into the dimensions of mind. Then if you start imagining, just observe how you're moving now once again in the astral plane of imagination or the causal plane of emotion. Just be aware. Don't judge it. Be aware. Exercise your spiritual inner awareness. You can train yourself to awaken before the alarm goes off, if you must use one. I think they're a bad idea to wait until they go off, because they slam dunk you back into your body, and the jolt is so sudden and abrupt that you lose all continuity between one state and the next. So what I do is, when I have to get up at a certain time, and instead of waking every hour because I'm concerned that I'm going to oversleep, I usually will set my alarm. But I've trained myself so that I never wait until it goes off. And I do that by telling myself before I go to sleep that I will awaken at least 15 minutes before the alarm goes off. And sometimes I want more time than that. But I will always give myself at least 15 minutes to really hang out in my higher state of awareness and see what's there. Inwardly, you can also establish a visual of the time that you wish to awaken and then go to sleep. So you mock it up, see it inwardly, then you release it. And this imprints the subconscious mind to cooperate with you and your basic self, your inner child, to cooperate with the process. Now, if you don't use an alarm clock, you can also practice sensing the time it is by tuning in inwardly, seeing if you can psychically attune to what time it is. And you will often see the exact time, without looking at the clock, of course, you'll often see the exact time appear in your mind's eye. Or you'll suddenly say, oh, it's 8:15. And it's amazing how many times you'll wake up and it's 8:15. So these are simple exercises that train you to register consciously ever more subtle states. And moving in the spiritual awareness becomes increasingly subtle the higher you go. So you're learning how to be aware of yourself, functioning upon more than one level of consciousness at the same time, even as you're going about your normal day. You know, to do this work within the Ashtar Command, many of us have learned a long time ago how to function in conscious bilocation. For example, there is always, at all times, a part of me that is aboard ship with the Ashtar Command. That part of me is always aware. I'm always aware of that. I never am not aware of that. It's so automatic, so normal for me, that I don't have to consciously think about it anymore. I'm also present in the Brotherhood at Shambhala. I never leave there. I'm always aware of being there at the same time. And I'm also aware of certain specific coordinates on the planet that I'm working in at any given time. How does that show up? It shows up as feeling or sensing or being aware in, I would say, the second attention. It's kind of a little bit out of your, on the oblique, if you know what I'm saying. kind of obliquely, you're aware of, say, for example, China or the Middle East or Iraq or Iran or where, it doesn't matter, wherever. Be aware. Register that. Think, oh, I'm thinking of such and such. And then look to see what you might be doing there. Another way to catch your knowing is to, as soon as you wake up and get back in your body, begin to make up a story of what you were doing when you were out of your body. What were you learning? Who were you interacting with? What was your awareness? Make up something, anything. That's how you begin to connect those inner dots, those inner levels. You begin to create a context in which that information can flow back into your awareness. So that's another thing you can do. And don't shoot yourself in the foot by saying, oh, that's just my imagination. So what? Maybe it is. And maybe you tuned in exactly to what's going on. Why would you pick that particular thing to write down if it didn't have some element of truth to it? So don't second-guess yourself. Don't talk yourself out of your mastery. Just play the game and cultivate that context for relating with yourself in conscious awareness at other levels by creating some way that you can bring it through into the present, like journaling, like making up a story about who you were last night and what you were doing. And I'm talking about service, talking about global planetary service, not hanging out with your boyfriend or your girlfriend on the astral plane. That's not the level I'm talking about. I'm talking about exercising your spiritual inner awareness, not your lower nature, your lower self, your indulgences. Oh, yeah, I used to do that, too. When I was overcoming certain bad habits, I used to sneak off on the astral plane and engage in them. So I know we can be real sneaky about that. But that's not what we're talking about here in this seminar. We're talking about creating a life and an awareness that transcends just your focus here on your life and your paying your rent and making your money and who you're going to date or whatever. There's a lot more to life than that. So don't live small. Learn to live large on a small planet. Be larger than your life. You'll find that that's where your joy, your fulfillment, your bliss, and your real sense of satisfaction is going to come. It's like we don't have very many warm fuzzies and let's say creature comforts. When you get to a certain level of awareness, you have to go beyond because everything else begins to feel like a cul-de-sac of, same old, same old. And you get bored if you hang out in an area that you've outgrown. If you've really outgrown it, it will extrude you in some way because it's time to move on. And nature has a way of moving you on to your next whatever. So you're learning how to be aware of yourself in ways that maybe are new for you, but after a while, you just incorporate that and it becomes as natural as driving a car became. You know, you don't have to think about it anymore. You just are exercising your spiritual inner awareness all the time. I do that all the time. There's never a time I'm not doing that. I watch everything. I watch myself. I watch other people. I watch the levels they're moving in and out of. I'm a student of life. And my favorite topic to study is humanity. I love human beings. They're the most interesting species in the universe because they're a composite of every kingdom of nature and every level of consciousness. My, they're fascinating. So have fun with it. It's really fun. I just can't imagine not living in the levels that I live in. And this is a very simple and practical way to cultivate multidimensional awareness without spending hours in meditation or practicing elaborate techniques. Of course, if that's your nature and you like doing that, go for it. That's okay, too. I spent years and hours and many decades meditating and practicing various techniques. But now I find that doesn't quite do it for me. I've outgrown some of those techniques, and I'm scrambling now to find new ways of exercising my awareness. So you're learning to use every moment of your life to awaken more fully to the subtleties of the dimensions that coexist with the physical. You're also becoming aware of how you tend to operate, how your vehicles of consciousness function. Your vehicles of consciousness are your subtle bodies. Some people call them your light bodies. And these subtle energy fields house your consciousness at different levels. For example, there are houses of consciousness that your imagination lives in, your emotions live in, your thoughts live in, your intellect lives in, your subconscious lives in, and your levels of awareness and knowing. These all have subtle vehicles or houses of consciousness that they inhabit. For example, your astral body houses your imagination. Your causal body houses your emotions. Your mental body, your lower mental, houses your thought patterns. Your higher mental body houses your creative intelligence. Your etheric body houses your overall energy blueprint. Your subconscious or unconscious relate to subjective influences and conditions that are meant to be brought into the light of awareness. And there they become cleared, resolved, and reissued as conscious awareness. So a lot of things that haven't been dealt with and faced hang out in the subconscious and unconscious levels. And this is where your, let's say, your dweller on the threshold resides. And the dweller on the threshold is the combined subtotal of unresolved issues that you need to address and pass through in unconditional loving as you bring the light of your divinity through those levels and illumine them into divine awareness. Now, your soul is you as divine awareness. Your spirit or monad is divine oneness. That's the all that is. So that's where you are forever one and united with divine source, the soul simply being a personalized, individualized extension of that one divine, that which is. So your life expression involves the interworking of all these levels at the same time. They all flow and move in and out all the time. You're not fixed on one plane or one dimension. You're not operating only out of one body. Even if you're unconscious, even if you're an unconscious human, you have all of these other levels that you have built in and exercised and expressed through in a myriad of lifetimes, myriad of dimensional placements on this and other planetary worlds. You've always been alive. You've always had existence. There's never been a time when you were not, and there will never be a time when you shall cease to be. So your eternal life has been expressed in a variety of contexts, and whether or not you're aware of it, those lives are going on doing what those levels do. That's why it's so interesting to move your awareness into a level and look and see what you're doing. I mean, this is just again, one of those, let's pretend that I know what I'm doing and make up a story. And then you have to ask yourself, oh, how much of that, I wonder, is actually the truth? Because why did I pretend that and not something else? So you can have a lot of fun with your inner levels, you know, as you ask yourself, well, what if I knew? What if I really knew what I'm doing on the Ashtar Command? And then make up a story. Well, what if I really knew what I was doing in Shambhala, or on the planet Venus, or in Telos, in the inner Earth? What if I knew? And then make up a story. You know, that is how you prod yourself, evoke yourself, call yourself forward into greater awareness. You go in there, and you begin to have a relationship with yourself at another level and let it reveal itself to you. You know, to me, that's like the greatest fun in the world, is to do stuff like that. And it sure beats worrying about how you're going to pay the rent. Isn't that a downer for a thought? So, how fun is that? I mean, what else could we be doing down here? That would be more fun. So overseeing your life plan. For this lifetime, you have a temporary helper that comes in as a high self. And the high self has the job to keep you on track with your soul purpose for this lifetime. You get a different high self with each lifetime. So that's not you. It's just a helper. Then you get also one or two more helpers, which are called basic selves. These are little Devic elemental spirits who have the job of looking out for and maintaining your physical body and your well-being physically so that you can survive long enough to fulfill your soul purpose. But those are not you either. Those are little, very immature consciousnesses that you are to train, and eventually they develop into conscious selves themselves. And then you have, as your working team, your spiritual upline, which would be your friends that are out of incarnation and in incarnation, angels, benefactors. Your own soul stands to you as a master when you're still operating out of the human levels. Sometimes that soul is called a solar angel. And then you have an oversoul, and you have various groups that come from the soul and the oversoul alliances that you are working in coordinates with. Then you have your master teacher, the Chohan, or the Lord of the Ray that you were birthed through as an individualized spirit. And then you have those that work with your master teacher and often are your physical teachers in this dimension. And they can be on this plane or in another dimension. So your training involves becoming more conscious and intentional in how you operate through your vehicles of awareness. For example, you learn how to control your emotions and to express them in a way that is positive and causes no harm to yourself or another. You learn how to direct your mind so that it stays focused where you want it to be focused. You learn how to focus and concentrate your mind and to coordinate your activities so that you complete your commitments and your actions. And you learn how to control and direct your imagination and your thoughts and your creative intelligence to function in harmony with your soul purpose and higher self. And you train your basic self to cooperate with you as a conscious self and with your soul purpose and your divine directives. So training your basic self or self is exactly like training a child. They need guidelines, boundaries, clear directives, and loving appreciation and attention. So you don't allow these immature parts of your nature to run your life or act without your conscious direction and supervision. And you can observe people who indulge in every form of excess are simply allowing their immature basic selves to run without conscious supervision and directing. So at each level, you're responsible for exercising conscious, volitional intention toward your life and bringing all of that in harmony with your overall divine purpose as a soul. So, that is a beautiful overview of how vast our multidimensional beingness is, and how delightful and beautiful it is when you can dance and waltz to the different levels and glide in and out of states of being as effortlessly as a happy sea otter surfing the waves of life. So, let's take a deep breath and go out chanting, Anai Yu. Deep breath. God bless you, and God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. Adonai.